Welcome to HN Pod, your daily download of what's trending on Hacker News. Today is November 9th, 2025, and this is episode number 210.
It's great to be here. We've got a fantastic lineup of stories today. We'll start with a man who has one of the most famous names on the planet, but he's not who you think he is. Then we'll dig into a provocative argument that AI isn't killing jobs, but the spending on it is.
After that, we have a beautiful, mesmerizing hardware project involving marbles and 3D printing. We'll also look at a new law out of Montana that's the first of its kind, enshrining a right to compute.
And we'll wrap up with a trip into the archives of a computer science legend, Edsger Dijkstra, and see why his decades-old writings are more relevant than ever.
Let's kick things off with our top story, which has over 1,000 points. The title is, simply, I Am Mark Zuckerberg. And the URL is IamMarkZuckerberg.com.
And no, it's not the one you're thinking of. This Mark Zuckerberg is a bankruptcy attorney in Indiana. He's created this simple, hilarious website to explain his predicament. The homepage reads, "Relax, you haven't accidentally logged into Facebook or the metaverse. You're on the site of Mark S. Zuckerberg, Indiana's original bearer of the name."
It's so good. He lists all the interesting things that have happened to me because my name is Mark Zuckerberg. And the list is just incredible. He's been sued by the state of Washington due to mistaken identity. His personal Facebook account has been disabled 5 times because Facebook thinks he's an impersonator.
Of his own name. It gets worse. He receives death threats on Messenger meant for the other Mark Zuckerberg. He gets Venmo requests for money from strangers. He's constantly being hacked. People call his law office for Facebook tech support. He was even removed from the Nextdoor app for using a fake name.
The whole thing is written with this great sense of humor. He ends it by saying, "I will rule the search for Mark Zuckerberg bankruptcy. And if he does fall upon difficult financial times and happens to be in Indiana, I will gladly handle his case."
It's just a perfect, human, funny story, and you can see why it shot to the top of Hacker News.
The comment section was, as you'd expect, full of people sharing their own name-related mix-ups. One user, Case91, said their name was the same as a very big executive at the financial institution where they worked as an intern. They started getting calendar invites to discuss the future of entire countries.
That is amazing. They also admitted to using the name to book meeting rooms on the fancy upper floors for their intern team's whiteboard sessions. No one ever questioned it.
Another theme was the curse of owning a simple firstname.lastname@gmail.com. A user named ZuckZuck said they have a rare name but were the first to register the email, and now they get all sorts of misdirected mail. Job rejections from New Zealand, someone else's pay stubs from the US. One person in the comments said one of their email doppelgangers has started trading crypto, and they are deeply concerned for them.
It's a modern-day problem. This whole story is just a delightful slice of internet life, showing how our digital and real-world identities can collide in the most absurd ways.
All right, let's move on to our next story. The headline is, AI isn't replacing jobs, AI spending is. This comes from Fast Company, and it's a really interesting economic argument.
The core idea here isn't that a company is firing a writer and replacing them with ChatGPT. It's that a company's budget is a finite pie. If they decide to spend tens of millions of dollars on a new AI initiative, buying GPUs, paying for expensive API access, hiring specialized talent, that money has to come from somewhere else in the budget. And often, somewhere else is the general headcount.
The top comment on Hacker News really grounds this theory in reality. A user named Glyptodon, a recently laid-off senior engineer, said their job wasn't replaced by AI in a functional sense. It was replaced by offshore junior developers. They see it purely as a cost-cutting measure, driven by a belief that senior talent isn't worth the cost, not because AI suddenly made their role obsolete. And this sparked a huge subthread about the value of senior engineers. One user, Torginus, wrote a great summary of the life cycle of a project. The senior devs do the hard, invisible work on a greenfield project. Then, once it's launched and stable, management thinks they can just hand it over to cheap junior developers for maintenance.
Right. They say things like, "Well, if that complex race condition didn't show up for 6 months, it can probably wait another 6 months for the new team to figure it out." But as another commenter from AWS pointed out, this thinking is exactly what leads to major outages. When a critical bug like the recent DynamoDB issue hits, the team that just maintained the system has a totally different and much shallower understanding than the team that actually built it.
This connects to another major thread in the discussion. A user named Giant G pointed out that the real story might be outsourcing, and AI is just the latest justification. They said the U.S. already offshores hundreds of thousands of jobs a year, many in IT. It's the same logic as manufacturing decades ago. Why pay a premium for an onshore employee when you can get the job done for less elsewhere?
Exactly. It's much easier to tell shareholders and the press, we're laying people off to reallocate resources for a strategic investment in AI, than it is to say, we're laying people off to hire cheaper labor in another country. The AI spending becomes a convenient narrative for a classic business decision.
So the takeaway is that the economic pressure is the real driver. AI is both a massive new expense forcing cuts elsewhere and a useful excuse for making those cuts. A really thought-provoking discussion.
Let's shift gears completely to something beautiful and tangible. The next story is called Marble Fountain, from a personal blog by Will Morrison. This is a project where he used procedural generation and a 3D printer to create an incredibly intricate, organic-looking marble run sculpture.
The video is mesmerizing. You have dozens of steel balls being lifted by a central screw and then descending on these interwoven flowing tracks. It looks like something out of a fantasy movie. In his post, he explains that he wanted to print the most complicated art piece he could think of, because with 3D printing, geometric complexity is essentially free.
But making it actually work was incredibly difficult. He talks about the challenges of the path solver, trying to fit as much track as possible into the printer's volume, but the biggest problem was velocity. If the marbles go too fast on straight sections, they fly off the turns. If they go too slow, they get stuck.
And he shared a fascinating insight in the Hacker News comments. The author himself, username Will Moore, jumped in to explain a key design choice. He said the tracks are banked super aggressively, far more than necessary just to make a turn. The reason is that the banking changes the ball's axis of rotation, which kills its rotational inertia and acts as a brake. It's a clever bit of physics to keep the speed of all the marbles consistent and smooth.
People in the comments were full of ideas. One person suggested making the tracks musical, so they play different notes as the marbles roll over them. And the author replied. He said he actually tried it, printing a test drum with different track structures, but the balls just bounced around too much to create a clear pitch. A cool idea that didn't quite pan out.
What a fantastic project! It's a perfect example of what makes the Hacker News community great. A combination of deep technical skill, artistic vision, and a willingness to share the process, the challenges, and the source code. It's just an inspiring piece of work.
Absolutely. Okay, next up, we're heading to the world of law and politics. The story is, Montana becomes first state to enshrine right to compute into law.
On the surface, this sounds like something the Hacker News crowd would cheer for. Governor Greg Gianforte signed a bill that establishes a fundamental right for citizens to own and operate computational resources, including hardware, software, and AI tools.
The law states that any government restriction on this right must be demonstrably necessary and narrowly tailored to fulfill a compelling government interest in public health or safety. It also requires that any AI controlling critical infrastructure must have a shutdown mechanism to allow for human control.
It's being framed as a big win for digital freedom. But as always, the Hacker News comments dove straight into the fine print and found the potential problems. The top comment from user Yasin makes a critical point. The law restricts what the government can do, but it says nothing about what private companies can do.
Exactly. This law wouldn't stop Apple from preventing you from sideloading an app. It wouldn't stop John Deere from using software locks to prevent you from repairing your own tractor. It protects you from government overreach, but it doesn't give you affirmative rights over the property you've purchased from a corporation. It's a classic US-centric view of rights as negative rights, freedom from interference, rather than positive rights, the freedom to do something.
Another commenter, Beer Adam, pointed out that the public health or safety clause could be a massive loophole. In the hands of a tyrannical government, almost anything could be justified under that banner.
So while it's a landmark bill and a fascinating first step, the discussion really highlighted the complexities. What should a right to compute actually entail in 2025? Does it mean the right to own a computer without the government taking it? Or does it mean the right to run whatever software you want on that computer? Montana has started the conversation, but it seems far from over.
For our final story, we're diving into the history of computer science with the manuscripts of Edsger W. Dijkstra. The University of Texas at Austin hosts a complete digital archive of his famous EWDs, his consecutively numbered notes, essays, and trip reports that he circulated for over 40 years.
Dijkstra was a true giant of the field, a Turing Award winner whose work is fundamental to everything from algorithms to operating systems. And his writing style is legendary, incredibly precise, formal, and often very pointed. He did not suffer fools gladly.
The timing of this post was perfect because the comments immediately surfaced why his work is still so relevant. The top comment linked to EWD667, titled On the Foolishness of Natural Language Programming. You could not ask for a more timely essay in the age of LLMs.
It's a brilliant short read. His core argument from decades ago is that natural language is wonderful for human communication precisely because of its ambiguity and richness. But those are the exact qualities that make it terrible for programming, which requires absolute mathematical precision. He argues that trying to make programming look like English is a fool's errand, a very provocative take today.
Another classic that got linked was EWD831, Why Numbering Should Start at Zero. It's his famous, elegant argument for zero-based indexing and half-open intervals. He lays it out with such clarity. Of course, this being Hacker News, it sparked a healthy debate, with some users defending one-based indexing for certain situations, like iterating backwards.
It's just a fantastic resource. Reading Dijkstra forces you to think with a kind of rigor that's often missing in our day-to-day work. It's a reminder that many of the fundamental debates in our field are not new, and that clear thinking is timeless.
From the real-life problems of being named Mark Zuckerberg to the abstract elegance of Dijkstra's proofs, it's been a wide-ranging tour of Hacker News today.
It really has. That's all the time we have. Thanks for tuning in to HN Pod. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories making waves in the tech world.